Good evening. This past Sunday afternoon, we gathered together to celebrate and remember the life and the legacy of Pastor Gary Hendricks. The service, I think, was blessed. It was glorious. It was a sweet time. Each eulogy brought out something sweet and tender about our pastor, and it built upon the next. And the sermon reminded us of great truths, and great truths not only about the Bible, but about Pastor Hendricks' ministry. After it was over, I had a friend who's familiar with this church text me and ask me how I thought the service went. And I thought about it for a while, and one simple sentence came to my mind, and I responded to him with, "It was glorious, yet insufficient." Not because anything in the service was insufficient, but because how do you celebrate? How do you remember such a man with such a glorious ministry in such a short time? It feels like more needs to be said, more needs to be done. Maybe we need to have a parade around Mebane for him. You know, when Moses passed away, the nation of Israel mourned him for 30 straight days. And if you think about it, Pastor Hendricks served almost 10 years longer than Moses. Now, I'm not suggesting that we follow that particular pattern, but I am just saying that it's right for us tonight to continue to mourn and to continue to celebrate the life and legacy of Pastor Hendricks. A holy and a good God has covered our church with a dark cloud. On October 29th, our beloved pastor of 50 years departed to be with the Lord. And while he presently enjoys the glorious light of the presence of Christ, we linger beneath a dark cloud here. Our beloved pastor was important to us. He's been important to us for many years. In September of 1970, the leadership of Community Baptist Church, that's what our church has its roots in, Community Baptist Church, issued a call for Gary to serve them as their pastor. And he served as their preacher, as our preacher, and as our pastor for 5 decades. He spent 50 years in one place serving one church. This length of continuous service is an uncommon blessing. If you can think of some of the people that you appreciate most in as evangelical preachers or leaders, very few of them, if any, have been in ministry 50 years and will be in ministry for 50 years. And those who have not been in one place for 50 years. It's an amazing accomplishment. However, Gary reckoned his life has its only worth in service to God. He thought about his life and his ministry very similar to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, which you can find on page 929 if you're using the Bible in the seats in front of you. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul says, "I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." As I said at his memorial, Pastor Hendricks' life was precious to all of us because he did not count it as precious to himself. He gave himself to finishing the course and to fulfilling the ministry that he received from the Lord Jesus. And that ministry was to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And so week in and week out for 52 years, he preached the gospel of God's grace. He called people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He called the people of God to perseverance in that faith and growth in that faith. And then he comforted us with the grace of our God. And though we endure under a dark cloud and wish to have him with us longer, we admire God's goodness that we had him as long as we did. And tonight I want to ask the question briefly, how can we honor his legacy and how can we adjust to church life without him? And tonight I want to use Acts chapter 20, not as a passage to do our normal exegesis, our normal explanation from, but I want to draw out five ways from this passage to honor Pastor Hendricks and to encourage us to press on with the church's work. And I pray that we would depend upon God's tender, loving care to bear us up and to carry us forward. So five ways to honor Pastor Hendricks and press on. Number one, know that it is good for us to mourn together. You must know that it is good for us to mourn together. Look at verse 25 in Acts chapter 20. Paul is speaking and he says, "Now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." And then skip down from there down to verse 37. "And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." Now, Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. And while he was in Miletus, he calls for the Ephesian elders from the town of Ephesus, which was not far from where he was. He calls those elders to come and meet him there so that he can address them. And he can address them for what Paul thinks would be his last time. And he tells the Ephesian elders that they would never see his face again. And after hearing that news, Luke records that there was an outburst of sorrowful emotion. All of them wept together. They embraced Paul. They didn't want to let him go. And they kissed his face. And then afterwards, they accompanied him to the ship. It's almost like they just wanted to treasure and spend as much time with him and spend a prolonged amount of time with him as much as they could before Paul would leave them. And what we learn from this, beloved, is that it's appropriate to mourn the loss of a beloved leader. And beloved, Grace Reformed Baptist Church, it is appropriate for us to mourn the loss of our beloved pastor. Pastor Hendricks' diagnosis, his decline, and ultimately his death ensued rapidly. It was very quick. A month ago, I received a phone call from a family member and informing me of his diagnosis. And on that phone call, that family member was weeping. And it was right for them to do so. When I hung up the phone, I went upstairs and I told my wife. And my wife and I cried together. And then on the last day of Gary's life, I had the privilege to go see him and spend some one-on-one time with him. And when I was with him, I held his hand and I said some things that I really wanted to say to him. And then I wept. And I wept there as I held his hand. And I didn't want to let it go. I wanted to spend as much time with him as I possibly could before that moment. I think that's the only time I ever held Pastor Gary's hand. I don't think that he would have appreciated that any other time. But I didn't really give him a choice in that scenario. friends, we will not see Pastor Hendricks in this life again. And this thought burdens us with sad and heavy hearts. But that's okay. That's normal. Because our grief is just another expression of our profound love towards our pastor. You know, Gary's earthly life has ended, but our love for him does not end with it. It's appropriate for us to grieve because we loved him and he loved us. You know, Paul tells us elsewhere not to grieve as those without hope. He tells us to grieve with hope. At the heart of what it means to grieve with hope is that we are sorrowful and yet we rejoice in the confidence that God's resurrection promises are true. Now, Gary's body is in the grave, but Gary is not in the grave. And his body, even his body, is not going to remain there forever. See, death for a limited time separates us from one another. And death will happen to more of us, to all of us at some point. But death cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Christ's love is better than life, and it's more powerful than death. Christ's love for us will last forever, and it is the basis of our eternal life. And the love that he has reproduced in us for one another will also last forever. And I know that's true because we will one day be reunited with our brother. We will see him again. And our love for him will reignite. And it will continue into eternity where there will be nothing to ever separate us from each other again. And that statement is not a euphemism. It's a consequence of Christ's bodily and historical resurrection. This is our hope. And so we honor Gary's legacy by grieving and grieving with hope. Okay? So secondly, we honor Gary's legacy and we press on as a church by trusting our holy and our good God. Look at verse 22 in chapter 20. Paul says, "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." Now, I think it would be appropriate, if you didn't know the whole story, it would be appropriate to ask, why would God take the most fruitful and effective pastor slash missionary and then confine him to prison? Why would God do that? If I were an elder at Ephesus, I might question the Spirit's plan. I might counsel Paul, hey, you might want to remain with us a little bit longer because you're going to reap greater fruits. You're about to say that wolves are going to come among us. I think you would be better served being with us longer and protecting us from those wolves. And I think it would also be understandable to ask, well, why would God take Pastor Hendricks away from us now? Now, Pastor Fortner's prayer at the memorial service was moving, and it expressed my heart very eloquently. Because we do reverently before God, knowing he is holy and good, but we do reverently feel like his passing was too soon. I mean, he retired only recently, and he had his sharp mind intact. At the very least, fruitful writing remained ahead of him, if not more. And I know I and the other elders anticipated having him as a counselor, as an advisor. Oh, beloved, God's ways are mysterious, and he does things that we don't understand. That's why we just sang in that song, "Deep and unsearchable minds of never failing skill. He treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Friends, the secret things belong to our God. I don't know how to answer the question I posed. But God has revealed that in every providence, bitter or sweet, every providence comes from the hands of a loving Father. His everlasting arms will hold us fast. And those hands and those arms will work for our good. And so we must trust our holy and our good God. And Paul himself, in this very text, is an example of this. I mean, consider this. Paul did not need to know every detail to trust and follow God through hard trials. All he knew is that hard things were ahead of him. He didn't know everything that would happen to him, and he didn't know every reason behind what would happen to him. But he was determined to obey God's will. And in this very speech, Paul frequently reminds them of their past together. And then he tells them of his uncertain, but certainly calamitous future. And in doing so, he models trust and submission to the will of God. And like Paul, Gary frequently taught and modeled for us that the will of God is good, it's perfect, and it's pleasing, no matter what treasure or what tragedy it brings. That's what he taught us. And so we honor his legacy by trusting our holy and good God. And we press on as a church by having the same determination to embrace the will of God. Thirdly, we honor his legacy and we press on as a church by remembering our brother's life and legacy. In fact, by never forgetting it. Look at Acts 20, beginning at verse 18. Paul says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." And when the elders arrived, Paul reminded them first how he lived the whole time he was with them. In fact, this is a frequent theme in this address. He appeals to their knowledge. He appeals to their experiences with them. He appeals for them to remember their past together. He does this in starting in verse 18. He does this again in verse 31. And then again in verse 34. They know how he lived among them, and he wants them to remember that. His extended time, 2.5 to 3 years, his extended time among them forged a close relationship between him and those he served. Well, brothers and sisters, Pastor Hendrick's 50 years deepened the intimacy between him and us. And we know how he lived among us the whole 50 years of his ministry. And Paul calls them to remember, and he calls them to remember 4 specific aspects of his service. He starts with his humility, and then he talks about his faithfulness, then his declaration, and fourthly, his integrity. And each one of those is equally applicable to Pastor Hendricks. So let's think about those for a second. We must remember how Pastor Gary, Pastor Hendricks, served the Lord with all humility. Now, Paul's mention of his humble service stands before any thought of the status or the position he held in the church. Now here, you might notice that he does not mention his title as an apostle. He frequently does that in other places, but he doesn't do that here. He doesn't mention his role as their founding pastor, nor does he mention his tenure, so to speak, as their senior leader. Paul fulfilled his high calling as an apostle with deep humility and deep modesty. In all my years here, I've had 12 years of relationship with this church. I never once heard Pastor Hendricks call himself the senior pastor, though he was. But I never heard him once call himself that. I never heard him appeal to his title or his tenure to demand a course of action with the church or with the eldership. Like Paul, he never considered himself equal to the excellence of his calling. And one of my fondest memories of Gary is not very flattering to me, but it's from a meeting that he and I once had in his office. We were discussing how to apply a particular theological truth in the life of the church. Now, don't misunderstand. We actually were in full agreement on the theological principle, but we just were on different pages in its precise application. And as the conversation progressed, I got intense. And I didn't get intense out of frustration or anger. It was just, I don't know, a personality and maybe naive passion. And you got to imagine the situation. I mean, here's a proven pastor who has ministered fruitfully in this one church for decades, and he's humbly tolerating a new and inexperienced man's opinion, you know, his overconfidence and really his naivety. And as we were talking, as my intensity of passion increased, Gary's meekness increased. He didn't match my passion with more passion. He matched my passion with more meekness. And as my voice got more forceful, Gary's grew gentler. As I began to talk toughly, he spoke tenderly. Now, don't misunderstand me. He did not shrink back from my assertiveness. He was not afraid of that. And he didn't shrink back from his opinion either. Instead, what he was doing is he was prioritizing love over scoring rhetorical points. That's what he was doing with me. And I left his office convinced of his position. And it was not actually from his argument's content, but it was from his humble character. And I learned more from his Christ-like demeanor in that conversation than from the conversation itself. It changed me. And it deepened my profound respect for him. I think I said this at his 50-year celebration or retirement celebration, but he really does thunder from the pulpit. But he is very tender in person. And that's how I experienced him. Beloved, isn't it great that Gary didn't use us to make himself great? He was great because God used him to serve us. So we have to remember and imitate his humility. Well, secondly, Paul calls for the Ephesian elders to remember how he served the Lord with tears through trials. And the same is true of our beloved pastor. Pastor Hendricks shed tears, and Pastor Hendricks suffered for us. Our trials were his trials. Our pains became his pains. And God only knows the countless hours of sleep he lost worrying over the health and the safety of his flock. He endured attacks from Satan, battles with depression and discouragement, and opposition from people outside of the church
and people inside of the church.
He suffered much, yet he never quit. He never quit. He was like Paul in verse 24. He ran the marathon race course. Faithfulness to Christ was more precious to him than life itself. And believe me, beloved, he had many temptations and many opportunities to quit. But he didn't. And now he can say like Paul at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. That is so true about our brother. And so we must remember and imitate his faithfulness with tears through trials. Thirdly, we have to remember his bold preaching. Repeatedly in Acts chapter 20, Paul reminded the Ephesian elders that it was the word of God that built the church. You can see this in verse 20, verse 21, verse 24, verses 26 and 27, and then finally again in verse 32. It's as if Paul is saying, hey, I might be leaving, but God in his word is not leaving you. Paul may be chained, but the word of God is not chained. The word of God, blessed by the Spirit, does the work of building the church. Now, Gary's public ministry is perhaps his most significant public legacy. These words are absolutely true of Pastor Hendricks. Pastor Hendricks never shrank back from declaring to us what would be profitable for us. In every sermon, he testified to the gospel of God's grace. And throughout his ministry, he declared to us the whole counsel of God's word. And he did so so that when he retired, he could confidently commend us to God and to the word of his grace. And he could do that because his confidence rested in the grace and the power of God's word. And we should never, ever forget that God built this church through the simple means of Pastor Hendricks' preaching. You know, Gary's ministry began when many pastors adopted various tactics and gimmicks to attract people to church. Now, the church growth movement, it continues today, but it was really intense back then. The church growth movement tempted pastors with strategies that seemed to guarantee church growth. And church growth measured by activity and measured by numbers. However, our dear pastor remained faithful to Paul's formula. Pastor Hendricks laid the foundation, laid the gospel as the foundation. He built upon that foundation with gold, with silver, and precious stones. Gary trusted in the power of God's word to create the church, to preserve the church, and to grow the church. And that's one of the most evident characteristics of his ministry. And that'll be one of the largest legacies that he leaves us. And the primary subject of Gary's teaching was love for Christ. You know, it might have been a week after we heard, or maybe 2 weeks after we heard of his diagnosis. I happened to be in my bonus room upstairs in my house. And it was just happenstance. I promise you, this never happens. But one of my daughter's sermon notes notebook happened to be out on the floor in front of my chair. I've never even seen that before except in the church building. So, and it was opened in front of my chair, and it happened to be open to her notes from Gary's sermon in January on increasing in the love of Christ. And there were fantastic notes. I was able to reconstruct the whole sermon just from her notes. And so I took a picture of it, and I sent it to Gary and Sharon. I said, these are great notes of a great sermon. And thank you for preaching this. And I went and I found that sermon. And it just reminded me of the emphasis of his ministry. He says this: as I complete my assignment as your pastor, there are a good many things on my heart. Things that I wish to say to you. Exhortations that I wish to give you. But to my mind, nothing is more important than this: be ever increasing in your love for God, and particularly your love for Jesus Christ. Beloved, you must be striving to love Christ more and more, because your relationship to God through Him is the most vital, the most enduring, and the most satisfying relationship you will ever have. That was the emphasis of his ministry. May we never forget what he declared to us. And while all that's true, dear church, I want to remind you that Gary did not build this church. God's word built this church. And Gary has left this world, but God's word isn't leaving this church. The same God that speaks through his word will continue to speak through his word. And it's important that you remember that God's word will always be central in this place. And we honor Gary's legacy and we press on as a church by putting our hope in God's word. And then fourthly, and I'm not going to say much about this because Pastor Randy Pizzino eloquently brought this out. But at the end of this address, Paul draws the elders' attention to his integrity, the integrity of his ministry. He didn't covet. He supported himself. He helped the weak, and he thought it was better to give than to receive. And I just want to say this. Isn't it amazing that he served for 50 years with no scandal? No scandal with females, no scandal with finances, no temptations with fame. Praise God. What a legacy. All right, fourth point. We honor Gary's legacy. We press on as a church by celebrating God's faithfulness to provide leaders. All right, look at verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And it's important to note here that the church in Ephesus was not left without overseers. You know, Paul structured the church and its leadership before departing the first time. And then he strengthened this eldership before leaving the second time. And he expected the pastors, the elders, the bishops there, to give the same attention to the ministry as he did. Friends, Ephesus was not left without overseers despite losing Paul. And friends, it's important that you remember that grace is not left without overseers despite losing Gary. We have lost our most prominent pastor, most eloquent, or most fruitful and effective pastor. But it's that pastor's fruitful ministry that raised up other men to lead the church with him and after him. And these men, your present elders, purpose to carry on the work of helping you love the Savior. We purpose to carry on the legacy that he left. And so, church, you need to remember that all your pastors, in some sense, are really interim pastors. Pastors may come, pastors may go, but your chief pastor, your chief shepherd, is not going anywhere. And he's promised to be with us to the very end of the age. And it's important that you remember that no pastor, no matter how much they have loved you, no pastor has shed his own blood to pay for your sins. There's only one person who has done that. And if he has done that, how much more will Christ provide everything you need for the ultimate security of your soul and the perseverance towards your salvation? He will give us what we need for those. And God has given us a plurality of elders to shepherd the church and to help you increase in your love for the Savior. So, friends, we honor Pastor Hendricks and we press on by praying for and trusting in your current pastors. And lastly, and briefly, we need to keep laboring in the Lord. Look at verse 35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul is reminding them of his own work, but he's also reminding them that there was more work for the elders of Ephesus and the church of Ephesus. The elders need to continue to shepherd the flock of God. The church needs to continue to help the weak, to learn to give, and that giving is better than receiving. Well, friends, Gary has completed his race, but we have not yet completed ours. There's more work for us to do. There is more work for Grace Reformed Baptist to do. And for us, it's to continue to build a healthy local church. There is more of Christ to be formed in us. There is more light to be shined through us. There is more love to abound among us. And there's more perseverance needed for us to finish our course. There's more work for us to do. And Pastor Hendricks' desire to build something for God's glory that would outlive himself. And so we honor the memory of Pastor Hendricks best by living out the instruction he gave and the model that he set before us. So we press on by continuing in his vision and continuing in his work. Our pastor left us a remarkable legacy. And I have to say it again, Pastor Hendricks' life was precious to all of us because he did not count it as precious to himself. And may the gospel and gospel ministry be as precious to you as it was to him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us such a pastor. Such a pastor that showed us what the chief shepherd is like. Thank you for preserving his integrity. Thank you for giving him humility. Thank you for keeping him faithful. Thank you for his powerful messages week in and week out. God, we do say again that we feel like it was too soon, and yet we can also say, as we heard this morning, that we know that you are always up to good. Father, I pray for us as a church that the pastors and the members, would account our lives of no value unless we ourselves are faithful to you, faithful to the ministry that you have given us, and faithful to the gospel of God's grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.